So, who do you think God is? I mean, do you believe in God? Do you believe in a higher power?
I do believe in a higher power. I don't believe that you'll go to hell for doing certain things. If I say a curse word, I don't think I'm going to be condemned to a fire.
Seems
hell.
Unreasonable.
Exactly, exactly.
What would someone have to do to go to hell?
For me, to go to hell, I think...
Let's take Hitler as an example. Do you think he can help?
Well, yeah, I'm half Jewish, so I believe he's definitely there. I think it all depends. I mean, you look at the murderers and the rapists and the child molesters.
So it's wrong to murder?
I believe, yeah.
Wrong to rape?
Wrong to rape.
Wrong to abuse children?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
How about this? Is it wrong to tell lies?
I try to be as honest as I can.
Have you ever lied?
Of course I've lied.
Does your conscience tell you it's wrong to lie?
Yes, my conscience.
Okay, so you know it's wrong to lie.
Yes, I know it's wrong to lie.
Have you ever stolen anything?
Yes.
And if you steal, what do people call someone who steals?
I'm assuming stealer.
Stealers are football players. Thief.
Thief, okay. Yeah.
How about this one? Jesus says, ultra. Hey, you got a boyfriend?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and if your boyfriend cheated on you,
I broke up with my ex because of that.
Right? But Jesus says, if you look with lust, you've already committed adultery with that person in your heart. In other words, you're being unfaithful in your heart.
Well, I definitely need there's physical adultery and there's also emotional adultery. And for me, like emotional, just having to my boyfriend be from in a relationship with somebody else that is very emotionally attached to where that point is being between us two in a relationship, I think that's more hurtful than just physical, because we can forget about the physical.
That's right. And see, so God sees the secret sins of our heart. It's not just what we think. It's not just what we do or say, but what we feel as well. I mean, if your boyfriend's unloyal to you, not physically, but emotionally, right? He's emotionally detached from you, but he's given all his affection and time to another woman. Well, that would hurt you, and that would be wrong, right? So honestly, you know, we've looked at four of the Ten Commandments, okay, whether you do it or not, okay? Uh-huh. Don't lie, don't steal, don't commit adultery. Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
Yes.
Right, that's called blasphemy, and the Bible says God won't hold them guiltless who takes his name in vain. In other words, if I take your name and I start to use it as a cuss word, that would be offensive to you, you know, that would offend you, and it offends God when we take his name and we use it as a four-letter cuss word. We don't even despise Hitler's name enough to use his name as a cuss word, but we take God's name and use it as a cuss word. So, honestly, what was again?
Kelly,
when you die, you know, 10 out of 10 people die. It's real popular.
Yeah.
Right?
Nothing's certain except for taxes and death.
Not even taxes. I think people die. But I've never seen anybody get out of debt. So when you die, someday, that could be tomorrow for all you know, okay? And you stand before God. If he judges you on the Ten Commandments, do you think he's going to find you innocent or guilty of breaking his law?
Me personally?
Yeah. You've admitted you're a liar and a thief and a blasphemous adulterer at heart. That's only 4 out of 10. There's still 6 points.
No, you're meant to as adulterer. I've never committed an adultery.
Have you ever looked with lust?
No.
Ever?
Honestly, when I'm in a relationship, I'm in that relationship before. I never look at it.
Okay, so we'll give you that.
Yeah.
So you've lied.
So 3.
You're only a lying thief and a blasphemer.
Well, I thought the whole purpose of God was that he forgives your sins.
You know, that is very interesting what you're saying, and that's what a lot of people think. But let me reason with you for a second. Let's say you're on trial, and you're standing before a judge, and he's a good judge, okay? And you're guilty of breaking 3 or 4 serious laws, and you say, hey, judge, I'm really sorry. Please forgive me. I know there's a $50,000 fine. I can't pay it, but I'm really sorry. Please let me go. Do you think the judge just let you go? And you stood before God, and he judges you on the Ten Commandments. Do you think he'd be innocent or guilty?
I still think I'd be innocent, because I think we're all God's children. I think that you're forgiven.
Right, so you think God's good, so he'll just forgive you?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me reason with you for a second. If you were standing before the judge, once again, you're guilty of breaking the law, you owed a $1 million fine you can't pay, and you say, judge, I'm really sorry, please forgive me, would he just forgive you? Would he just let you go?
I don't think he necessarily forgive you, but I don't think he'd damn me to hell for...
Would he put you in prison?
You probably pay a little,
Well, if you couldn't pay your fine, wouldn't you? I mean, if you do the crime, you have to do the...
Fine.
Yeah, that's right, right? Or you got to pay the fine, okay? And it doesn't matter how many times you've broken the law, how many times you got to break the law to get in trouble?
you can break the law a long time before you get caught and are in trouble.
Right, but if you get caught even once, you'd be in big trouble, right?
Yeah.
Right? The judge doesn't care if you get caught speeding. Well, judge, I don't speed 99% of the time. I've only sped this one time. The judge is still going to punish you for the crime that you committed. That's justice, right? Well, that place of punishment, according to the Bible, is hell. That's God's place of punishment. And he, because he's just, because he's holy, because he's good, he can't let sin into heaven. He's without sin. And he's not going to just let people go.
Have you ever lied?
Absolutely. Broken all those commandments many times over.
You think you're going to go to hell because?
I would. And he would be just in sending me to hell because I'm a criminal in his eyes. I've lied. I've stolen. I've blasphemed his name. I've looked with lust, which is adultery of the heart. I've not put God first in my whole life. Have you always put God first in your life?
No.
Right. A minute ago, you said, well, my God is this. My God's loving. My God's forgiving. You know what that's called? That's called idolatry. And it's the oldest sin in the book. It's when you take a God and you create a God in your own mind to suit yourself. Right? But he's not the God that God's proven he is in the Bible, okay? So let me reason with you for a second. What if you put yourself back in that courtroom and said you're guilty of breaking the law and you owed that $1 million fine you couldn't pay. They're hauling you off to do life in prison when some guy you never met steps into the courtroom and says, Judge Wayne, you know, I love Kelly, and I sold all that I own. I gave it all that I had to raise the money to pay Kelly's fine. And the judge miraculously looks at you and says, Kelly, you're free to go. Justice has been served because your fine's been paid. I can set you free, not because you're sorry, because of course you should be sorry. What you did was wrong, and of course you shouldn't do it again. And not because you're innocent. You've even confessed to the crime. And I'd love to forgive you, but I can't. But now I can because of the love that this guy illustrated when he sold everything he owned to pay the fine for you. Justice has been served because your fine's been paid. Now I can set you free. Now, how would you feel towards the guy that paid your fine?
I'd be eternally grateful.
Well, it's interesting you use the word eternally, because that's what the Bible says Jesus did for you and me. We broke the law. God gave us a conscience to know right from wrong, but we disobey our conscience, and we do it anyway. But God so loved the world, he sent his son to die on the cross to set you free from your sin.
That I can provide Jewish background.
So was Jesus.
Well, I know Jesus was Jewish.
So what's wrong with that?
Well, there's certain beliefs in Judaism that I don't want to say that didn't happen, that, you know, that's not who I believe God is. Like, when I think of God, I don't think of Jesus.
Right, but does it really, in the end, matter what we believe or what's true? In other words, I can get on that building and say, well, I don't believe in gravity, and I jump. It won't change reality that gravity exists. And that it takes its toll. And on the day you die, God's law, and Jews believe in God's law. That's Mosaic law, right? And it's wrong to commit those sins against God. But the Bible says in the Old Testament that there is no remission, no forgiveness of sin, but by the shedding of blood. And so as far as the Jewish culture, the Jewish religion is concerned, there's no forgiveness of sin unless there's a shedding of blood. So unless you've been making an annual sacrifice on the altar to God for your forgiveness of sin, you're in big trouble. If you died tonight, Kelly, you stand before God, he'd be just. Because keep in mind, on that day, every secret sin you've ever done in darkness will be brought into the light. God, nothing is hidden from God's eyes. He knows everything you've
done. Well, what about children who are supposed to be innocent and that die, and supposedly they stand before God and that they're innocent children? But as a child, children lie, so therefore, are they going to go to hell?
Well, the Bible says that every child reaches an age of accountability, okay? So, you know, that's different for everybody. It doesn't give a specific age. But there comes a time in everyone's life when they will be held accountable, when you know right from wrong and you make a conscious decision to disobey, okay? So, you know, that could be, you know, 8 years old, 10 years old, 12 years old, doesn't, you know, depends. It's different for everybody. But now we're talking about you, right? And you, when you die, you know right from wrong, and yet you've done wrong anyways. And once again, God, in God's courtroom, right, he knows everything you think, say, do, and feel, and you'll be there alone. There will be a lawyer to get you off of some technicality, okay? You'll have to give an account on that day. But see, God's not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want you to go to hell. In fact, he really technically doesn't send people to hell. They send themselves there because they reject his grace. Okay? In other words, go back to that courtroom, and the guy steps in, he pays the fine, you said you'd be eternally grateful. So you're telling me you wouldn't look back to the judge and say, Judge, no thanks. I don't really believe in this guy. I don't really know this guy. I don't really like this guy. I don't even want this guy's help. I'm just going to keep living my life my way and doing whatever I want to do. No, you'd be grateful. You'd thank the guy that paid your fine. Moreover, you show your gratitude by saying, look, I could never pay you back, but I want to try. You know, could I wash your car? Could I mow your lawn? You know, could I do your laundry or something? I mean, wow, you've set me free. You've saved my life. And that's what the Bible says Jesus did for you and me. It's really that simple. We broke the law, but Jesus paid your fine that you might go free on that day. But it's a gift. If I offer you $1,000 right now and I say, Kelly, this is your $1,000. You can have this $1,000. It's not your $1,000 until you reach out and do what?
Take it.
Take it. And that's exactly what God offers you in grace. He says, here's my love. I've illustrated my love by becoming a man of Jesus, living the perfect sin-free life so that he who knew no sin could be made sin for you. And I've forgiven you through what he did on the cross. But you, that's a gift, not by works. Okay? It's nothing you've said, nothing you've done. It's what's been done for you that you can be saved. Every other religion in the world spells the way to heaven, D-O, do. What you got to do to get to heaven, okay? But true biblical Christianity is spelled D-O-N-E, done, finished. When Jesus hung on the cross, he died, he said, it is finished, it is over. To testify, the debt's been paid in full. But you have to either reject it, like any gift, or receive it. The choice is yours. And so God gives you that choice. You know why God gives you a choice? What do you think?
I don't know. I get a hand because I don't know.
What if I held a gun to your head right now, Kelly, and I said, Kelly, tell me you love me or you're going to die. And you said, oh, Daryl, I love you, I love you. Would that really mean you love me?
No.
No, you would do it to avoid the consequence, right? That would be coercion. And God's not going to coerce you into loving him. He gave you free will. He gave you a choice because his love is a choice. And he wants to know you came of your own free will, sorry for the sins that you've committed, that you've offended him through your wicked works, grateful for the grace that he offers you by sending his son to die on the cross to set you free. So on that day that you stand before God, he'll say, case dismissed, lack of evidence. Because you'll be covered in the righteousness of Christ. See, the Bible says God has appointed a day in which he'll judge this world, not in happiness, not in what we believe, but in righteousness. And unless you have the righteousness of Christ, on that day you'll perish because none of us are good. You know, like you, I've broken those commandments. I've lied, I've stolen, I've lusted, I've greeded after money. I've put myself before all things. So does that kind of make sense to you? In other words, that none of us are worthy, none of us are good enough to get to heaven. God loved you so much. He became a man in Christ. In fact, think about it like this. Someday when you get married, if you have an only son, a little boy, and he's about to cross the street and get killed, right? He's about to get hit by a car. Wouldn't, if it was a split decision, wouldn't you push him out of the way and take the car for him and save his life, trade your life for his?
Yeah.
Right? But see, God didn't stop at that. He could have came down here and solved all the problems, fixed everything. But instead, as a way to illustrate his love, he sacrificed his son to save the world from their sin, to show you how much he loved you, what depths he was willing to go to save your soul from hell. He doesn't want you to go from hell to hell. Hell was not even created for people. It was created for the devil and those demons that follow him, right? But that is God's place of punishment. And those who won't repent, turn from their sin, and put their full faith and trust in Jesus to be saved, he's got no choice but to give you what you ask for. If you ask in this life, no thanks, God, I don't want your grace, I don't want to receive that gift, then he's going to dignify your free will. He's going to give you what you ask for, which in this case is eternal punishment in hell forever. And can I just ask you to really think about what I'm telling you today, because I care about you. I'll probably never see you again. But question my motive. You know, I'm not saying, hey, come join my church. I'm not asking you for money. You know, I just care about you, and I care about where you'll spend an eternity. I'll leave you with one last thought. I actually am a Texas millionaire, and if I offer you $1 million for both your eyes right now, would you trade them?
No.
$10 million?
No.
$100 million?
No.
No, not for all the money in the world, right?
No.
So your eyes are valuable?
Yes.
Precious to you?
Yes.
Irreplaceable?
Yes.
But they're only windows for your soul to look out of. So if your eyes are that valuable to you, think about how much more valuable your soul should be. There's just nothing more valuable than your soul. Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and forfeit is his own soul? There's just nothing you could give in exchange for your soul. So please think about my motive. Think about why I'm here. Think about what I've shared with you today. You broke the law. You're guilty. Your own conscience tells you so. God gave you that conscience to know right from wrong, but you've disobeyed it. But God offers you forgiveness in Jesus Christ. He illustrated his love by sending his son to die for you because there's no greater love than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friend. That's how much he loved you. Thanks for talking.
No problem.
God bless you. Please think about it. Nice meeting you.